to learn how to start blessing enemy. Folk who don't like you in the church. Talk to me, somebody. I don't ever get up in church and preach on my enemies. I got something, though, in every church somebody doesn't like you. But that ain't the story. I didn't come here to talk about who didn't like me. I'm going to find out who loves Jesus. Y'all going to make me preach in here this morning. I want to find out, do you love Jesus? But you know, Jesus said, forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing. And you know, ignorant folk can do a whole lot of damage when you don't know what you're doing. I shared with you some years ago, I was going to surprise Pat when we lived in Kentucky. I was going to fix some mashed potatoes, green beans, and make a meatloaf. Lord have mercy. And that meatloaf was something, boy. It was pretty, though. I think Pat will tell you that. I went in there and knitted it and put it together, you know, and got a great big can of green beans and put a little paprika in it and some bacon bits and cooked that sucker down. And I thought I had it made. And then made some mashed potatoes and put them in there, you know, and beat them up and put my milk in, my cream and my butter and got it just right. Came in there, Pat said, what are you doing? What did I smell? I said, look here. I pulled out my meatloaf. I said, da, da, da. She said, oh, and she kissed me. She said, oh, my baby, feed me some dinner. My baby is coming up. And then she took the knife and cut the meatloaf. And the meatloaf crumbled, just crumbled. And she said, baby, I said, what happened to it? She said, what did you put in it? I said, nothing. She just said, that's why it crumbled. See, some of you just like that meatloaf. If you don't have something in you, that hold the rain. Can I get some help in here? Hold the rain. Let me say this. And I'm finished, but let me say this. You see, you can't stop God's blessing plan. See, Good Friday is nothing but prelude to Easter Sunday morning. You see, festival follows funeral, and Easter will answer all of Good Friday's questions. You see, if you can go through your hallelujah, go through your hell and your hosanna, look out. Your hallelujah is around the corner. Can I get some help in here? I'm trying to tell somebody, you're going to be blessed just because the devil has knocked you down and knocked you out. He has not wiped you out. There's a blessing. Oh, you ought to help me this morning. Ah, there's a blessing. When Jesus was dying on the cross, he said in Greek, tetelestai, which means paid in full. In other words, he wouldn't die until he finished his work. In other words, he was in his office, and he was signing some cosmic redemptive papers, and he wouldn't die until he finished it. Let everybody criticize it. Say whatever you want down there, but I got to finish my work. That's what I got to do. I can't pay no attention to folk. I got to finish my work. Talk to me, somebody. And when Jesus had finished and made sure that I was cut in on the plan of salvation, he said in Greek, tetelestai, which means finished. Have mercy, Jesus. He said, finish is all paid now. Can I get some help in here? You see, just because you have been knocked down doesn't mean you can't get up. Some of us had babies out of wedlock. Folk talked about you like a dog. Can I get some help in here? And a whole lot more had babies out of wedlock. We just don't know about it. Talking about folk and tearing folk down. My thing is, if you had one out of wedlock, still come on to the house of the Lord. There's a resurrection in here. God will bless you. Can I get some help in here? How many of you know you can get up? How many of you know you can get up? How many of you know you can get up? How many of you know you can get up? How many of you know you can get up? You see, Jesus got up. Yes, he did. I said, Jesus got up. Yes, he did. I said, Jesus got up. Yes, he did. Jesus got up. I don't care how you praise me. I don't care how much hell I catch. Don't you count me out. My resurrection is just around the corner. Get up. I said, get up. Get up. Get up. Get up. Get up. Get up. Ooh, Lord. Oh, get up. Uh-huh. I was sharing this morning. You know, I was watching old Popeye movie. And Bluto had beaten Popeye to a pulp. Popeye was on the ground. Lord, just beat him all up. Knocked him down. Had him all.
Hope you were blessed and revived by the KAYT Gospel Hour as we venture back in the past for a time of revival with oldies and goodies in sermon and song.
Lead me on. He's a wonder in my
soul.
I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 NW Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
It's that time of year when the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville, Louisiana, the church where God blesses its people, share those bountiful blessings with the community and friends and surrounding areas as part of its Family and Friends Day. On Saturday, May the 21st, 2016, the family picnic kicks off at 10 o'clock a.m. till 2 o'clock p.m. There's going to be boiled crawfish, fried catfish, hamburgers, hot dogs, and also a health wellness fair and free games galore. 7 p.m. to end a day of togetherness and fellowship at the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. This year, as a special treat for you, music lovers young and old, the award-winning none other than Mother Marcy Burks and the Mississippi Mass Choir of Jackson, Mississippi, singing those old-time favorites, burden-releasing, soul-uplifting songs. Your grace and mercy. They got the word. Jesus paid it all. Jesus can work it out, and many, many others, too numerous to mention. You'll be blessed in your soul and spirit. this is going to be a highly favored event. It's going to feel like heaven on earth in the sanctuary. Tickets available at the Pleasant Hill Church, 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville, Louisiana. Phone 337-238-1779. Distinguished Ladies and Gentlemen's Barbershop, 337-401-4452. In Leesville and KAYT-FM radio station, 5003 Masonic Drive, Suite 113 at 318-484-2500. This promises to be a day of glorious fellowship and a hallelujah good time.
Morning, we want to call your attention to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8. Nehemiah, chapter 8, and we want to commence reading at the fifth verse, and we will read through verse 6. Nehemiah, chapter 8, verses 5 and 6, and there you will find these words. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worship the Lord with their faces to the ground. Amen. And for just a few moments this morning, I want to speak to your heart from the subject, lifting hands unto the Lord. Amen. Lifting hands unto the Lord. Thank you, ushers. When we talk about worship, I've come to find that there are many new converts and new Christians, amen, people who did not grow up in the church, people who didn't have mama and daddy bringing them to church every Sunday. And sometimes you can come into the worship experience as a novice and not really know or understand why some things are happening, why some things are taking place, amen. And I'm also convinced that not everybody who comes to church comes to worship God. Amen. Not only that, there are a lot of us who worship God with the criteria we have created, with no thought of what God says and how God says we ought to worship him. I say we come to church, and most of you, if not all of you, have your own criteria as to what you're going to say, what you're going to give, what you're not going to say, what you're going to do, and what you're not going to do in worship. And we say, that's just me. That's just the way I am. I worship in my own way. But my brothers and sisters, you need to read the Bible. Because in the Bible, God not only tells us that we ought to worship, he also tells us how to worship. Can I get a witness today? And that's from the pulpit to the pew. Amen. The pulpit ought not ever follow the pew when it comes to worship. I like going back and watching some of the old videos of our worship experience. Amen. And one thing I learned early in ministry is that I ought not ever follow the pew when it comes to worship. I ought not, amen, wait for the pew to stand up and give God praise before I decide to give God praise. Do I have a witness today? And I'm disturbed. You see, I can't help but see you because as it is in the text, the pulpit, amen, looks out over the congregation of the people. And that's for a reason, amen. Dr. Theodore Judson Jimison, the past president of the National Baptist Convention, United States of America Incorporated, used to tell the preachers, amen, that if you sit high, you got to pay high. In other words, these places are elevated for a reason. That is because we are leaders in the worship experience. And I'm disturbed because I see people who come to church and who will not worship. And my brothers and sisters, anybody who doesn't want to worship down here is going to have a problem if you get to heaven. Do I have a witness here today? Because one thing I know for sure in the Bible is that when it comes to worship, the Bible says in heaven we will be worshiping every day. Can I get a witness today? So if you have a problem with worship, you may want to redirect the course of your life. Maybe you want to go to that other place where you don't have to worry about worship, because in heaven we will worship every day, which means everything we do on this side is really just a rehearsal for when we get to heaven. Anybody going to heaven? Anybody excited about, amen, your journey to heaven? Well, if you're going to have to worship every day in heaven, you may as well get into some good practice down here. Amen. Because what I beg you to do once a week is just a rehearsal for what we're going to do every day when we get to heaven. And then when you come to worship, you have to be careful that you're not guilty of just doing what you see someone else doing. Because as I say so many times, the word worship is inextricably tied to another word, worship. Amen. Which means that your level of worship is based upon how much God is worth to you. Oh my, oh my, that might be a problem. Can I say it one more time? I said your level of worship is predicated, it is based upon how much God is worth to you. And I'm going to leave that alone. You see, your level of worship is not based upon how well you like the pastor. Your level of worship is not based upon how well you like the musicians. Your level of worship is not predicated upon how much you like the choir or the choir director. Amen. Your level of worship is predicated upon how much God is worth to you. I said I'm going to leave that alone. If you don't understand worship, you will end up going through the motions without having the proper meaning of worship. When you get a chance, read Hebrews 13 and 15. He says, let us offer up, watch this, the sacrifice of praise, even the fruit of our lips in giving thanks unto the Lord. Do you know what he was saying? He was saying, don't just give God praise when you feel like it. How many of you know sometimes it's a sacrifice? Oh, I ought to have a witness here today. I know that I'm not the only one who gets tired, amen, but even when I'm tired, he's worthy to be praised. Tell your neighbor, it's a sacrifice. I don't care if you have a headache. Tell your neighbor, he's still worthy to be praised. I don't care if your boss fired you on Friday. Amen, it might be a sacrifice, but he's still worthy to be praised. I hear somebody saying, but pastor, that's not my personality. Amen. Amen. That's why it's called a sacrifice. It ain't about your personality. Amen. It ain't about, you know, some folks say, well, I'm not a loud person. That's why it's a sacrifice. You gotta get over you long enough to give him praise. You got to get over you long enough to realize that if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side. See, some of us let, amen, how we look and how we're able to dress now, amen, dictate the kind of praise we give to our God. Well, if it were based upon what you drive now, if it were based upon what you're wearing now, if it were based upon how you're living now, you ought to give him a greater praise, because you know. You know, you ain't always been living like you're living now. So don't let new shoes mess up your praise. Don't let new suits and new dresses mess up your praise. Do you think Pastor knows what he's talking about? I know what I'm talking about. Because if you don't realize God gave you the shoes, if you don't realize God gave you the car, if you don't realize that God gave you the house, you already got a problem. Y'all remember what Job said, don't you? The Lord giveth. The Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If anybody who should have had a pity party and not been praising, it should have been Job. But Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Job said, I know my Redeemer lives. Everything is falling around me, but I know my Redeemer lives. Folk are lying on me and talking about me, and my children are dead and my cattle are gone, but he's still worthy to be praised. Why? Because I know. I know my Redeemer. I know he lives. Amen. Amen. So I want to talk about lifting hands, because I know, amen, if you just come from the outside and you're looking in, amen, you see folk lifting hands, and I was looking today, you know, there's some folk that ain't got no shame. My sister over there, amen, she lifts them all the way up. You know, I done got so fat, I can't get them all the way up without losing something. I ain't going there, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. But we ought to give him the kind of praise that is due him. Amen. A lot of us are not like David. You know, David got in trouble with his wife because he had a crazy praise. David got to praising God so at one time the Bible says he danced out of his clothes. I guess I'll not worry about losing that. Just David said, God is so good, and he's so gracious, he's so merciful. Amen. He praised God out of his clothes. And the Bible said David's wife was looking at him, and she was embarrassed. She said, man, you the king. You ain't supposed to be acting like that. You're supposed to be erudite and sophisticated. Amen. How many of you have made up in your minds you ain't worried about who's looking at you and what they're thinking about you? Amen. Come on, when you think about how good he's been, when you think about some stuff he's done for you that you couldn't do for yourself, and he's, oh my. David said, baby, I love you, but I ain't gonna let you change my worship. Amen. Honey, baby, sugar dew, amen. I like you and all that. You've been mighty and that, but you ain't been better to me than my God that woke me up this morning, that put food on my table, that healed my body when I was sick. I've got to give him praise. So here we are in Nehemiah chapter 8, and you need to see that this chapter deals with worship. As a matter of fact, it is a pattern for worship. In the first 7 verses, the book of Nehemiah is about building a place for God to be worshiped. But in Nehemiah 8, amen, the focus shifts from the building to the worship. Ooh, some of us need to make that transition. Chapter 7 was about the building, but chapter 8 ain't about the building. Chapter 8 is about what's supposed to be happening in the building. It's about the worship. See, I've come to find you can always get folk excited about building something. But the same folk that are all excited about building something won't worship God when they get in the building. And I don't know how you feel about it, but amen, you remember in Matthew chapter 24 when the disciples asked Jesus, when is the end coming? When is the end going to be? Amen. They were admiring the building. Jesus said, y'all caught up in the wrong thing. Because that building is going to come down brick by brick and stone by stone. As a matter of fact, God is looking for folk who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Thank God for buildings, but God is more interested in worship. Can I get a witness today? Amen, amen, amen. There was this man who had just been saved. He was saved and just gotten saved, and he went to this real sophisticated church. And he was at this sophisticated church, and he just let loose. Amen. He hollered out when he felt, amen, when the Spirit hit him. He'd say, thank you, Jesus, and praise the Lord. Amen. And you know, folks start looking at him. Folks start looking at him crazy. Amen. As a matter of fact, one of the deacons went up to him and said, brother, we glad to have you over here at Sedidi Baptist Church. Amen. But we don't have all that kind of noise over here. We don't clap and all of that. Amen. We're just not that kind of church. Amen. And so finally the pastor went to the man and said, my brother, because the pastor had gotten a lot of comments from the members saying, we don't want that over here. So the pastor told the man, brother, maybe you need to pray about being a member of this church, because we don't have all of that. Amen. And so, amen, a few Sundays went by, a few months went by, and the pastor hadn't seen the man. And one day at the Walmart, he saw that brother. Amen. And he said, brother, I've been missing you. Amen. Where you been? He said, well, pastor, I did what you said. I prayed and asked the Lord, amen, well, did I need to be over there at that church? And the Lord said, don't worry about it. He said, I ain't been over there in a long time either. I don't know about you, but I want to be in a place. I want to be with people who are not ashamed of the gospel. I don't know about you, but I want to be in a place where when praises go up, blessings come down. I don't know about you, but I want to be in a place where the people of God are not ashamed to give him praise. Where are the worshipers in the house today? If you love God, if you know how much he's worth to you, come on. Come on, you don't know like I know what he's done for me. You can't tell it like I can tell it how good he's been. Excuse me. He's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. And I thank God. I thank God because I worship, amen, the worship experience, the praise team and the choir and everything that happens in the worship ultimately leads to the word. Amen. It's supposed to get our hearts ready to hear the word and receive the word. And you'll notice in that passage that we read, it says that when he opened the book, the people stood up. Now, a lot of preachers have taken that out of context. Amen. And so every time the scripture is read, they say, please stand for the reading of the scripture. And y'all have heard me say, God ain't so much interested in you standing when it's read as he is you living it. Can I get a witness today? So you need to understand that they stood, amen, because the book was sacred. They stood because the book was holy. They stood because of what the book represented. You see, because if you're going to follow that rule that you stand when the word is read, amen, every time I plug a scripture in this sermon, y'all'll be mad at me. Every time I read a passage, amen, you got to get up, get up, get up. You know, like the Catholics, get up. Hallelujah. So it ain't so much about the scripture being read. It's about how holy this book is. Anybody know that this book is holy? The word of God is holy. So the singing and all of that is to prepare our hearts to receive the word. And you need to know the devil knows the importance of the word. That's why he puts you to sleep. At preaching time, I ain't going to even turn around. I'm not going to turn around. One sister told me, she said, pastor, I got to tell you, ain't no sleep like church sleep. You can sleep in church when you can't sleep nowhere else. Amen. I know folk who will take a 4 or 5 hour trip in a car and they will not go to sleep. I don't care how tired they are. They will not go to sleep because they, amen, want to help the driver drive. Amen. But we'll come in church and we ain't here an hour and a half. And then you look and amen, they already gone. They already gone. I ain't talking about nobody. Because I love everybody. Amen. And so I've come by today to tell you that my concern is not that we will become too loud. My concern is that we will become too quiet. My concern is not that we will become too hot. My concern is that we will become too cold. I don't want us to get like, amen, that church that I just told you about where the God told the man, amen, don't worry about it. I ain't been over there either. I want to be in a house that's hot for God. I want to be in a house where it's loud for God. And I'm not talking about noise. I'm talking about worship. Can I get a witness today?
I want to be in a house where the blessings of the Lord are coming down. And you see, some of us have what I call a standard shift praise.